You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's message is Pastor Ralph.
Water around here. I don't understand it. God said, do it. I'm going to do it. Enoch, where you walking to? I'm going with God. I'm following him. Where did Enoch go? He translated into the heavenlies because he was, hallelujah, so perfectly aligned with God in his life that everything worked out okay. Man, every week I see a miracle in my life. I do. And listen, I'm not talking about I'm 73, all of a sudden I'm 63. That's not what I'm talking about. But I see him doing things in my life that really should not be able to be done. I see his favor in every aspect of my life. I see him touch my dollars and cents. I see him touch my vehicles. I see him touch my marriage. I see him touch my body in regard to healing. And whatever I need, I go to him. And many times I gotta wait because we gotta wait on the Lord. But that's a wait worth waiting for. Because he makes me more like him, more dependent on him, and knowing I can't get it until he gives it, and it teaches me patience. And like James says, I let patience have her perfect work so that I'll be complete and entire, wanting nothing as we wait on the Lord. They knew that this earth was not their home. And listen, scripture tells us the just shall live by faith, and these indeed were living by faith. It says in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Again, God, this place is not our home. For verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And of course, he's pointing toward a heavenly country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And listen, there's a verse out of Luke, and I read it last week. I'll read it this week as well. 9 and 62. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, he's moving us forward, and he's taking us somewhere. And listen, I sometimes think about my past, especially my present past. We are talking about good old days before we even started the day. And many of them days in our minds, they were good. But man, we ain't seeing them days no more. I was thinking the other day, just sitting around pondering. And when I was in the Marine Corps, I spent 2 years, a little over 2 years in Hawaii. Man, that was the best duty I ever had in my life. And I remember how nice it was and how pleasant it was. And for years after I got out of the military, I always wanted to go back. But guys, even if I went back, I can't go back to that time. That's over. It was a camaraderie that I had with a group of guys for that time and that period, and it was for that time, and I relished it, and it was a good time. But guess what? I was unsaved, and if I died in Hawaii, I was going to hell. So it wasn't that good. And we can't remake the old times. And it's okay to have pleasant memories. But guys, if you're breathing, God's got something for you that's going to be better even than that. And ultimately, what I know is my time in heaven is going to be better than anything I have here on earth. Mark anything. He says in verse 16, but now, he says, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. I'm going to pause there for a second. I was just reminded of the children of Israel. as God, they were wandering around in the desert, and they said, why did Moses bring us out here? We were back in Egypt. We had the leeks and the onions. We are eating good. Guys, you were in slavery. They forget about that part. And God still had his hands on them. Verse 16, he said, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had, look, prepared for them a city. And listen, he's prepared for them a city, and guess what? He's prepared one for us as well. And yes, it's a heavenly city, but even before we get there, he's got something in store for you right here. You're walking in his grace. You're blessed in his grace. And he will minister to you right where you live. And if you think about it, we are people that are much and well blessed of God, that he takes care of us and will always take care of his children and keep us safe from danger seen and unseen. For the unbeliever, the worst thing that can happen for them is to die, because that would mean that this life is over. But for the believer, when we die, we know it's going to be better. Unbelievers are living on a maybe, but believers are living on a promise from God that absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? He says in verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly country, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. He goes on, verse 18, of whom it was said, and by the way, God said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In other words, he was going to be the son of promise. Indeed, he was a miracle child. And God said that, look, everything is going to be numerable as the clouds, as the stars in the sky, and the sands on the earth from this son that you're going to have. But God said, Abraham, I need you to go and take that same son that I'm going to inhabit the faithful world in, and I need you to offer him a sacrifice to me. And man, in your head, especially as a father, as a parent, how are you going to work that out? And the only reason why you would do something like that is because, number one, you believe God, and by faith, somehow he's going to work this thing out. Because he sees an in and an out that we don't see. And not to mention, he can do the miraculous if he chooses. In verse 19, it says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Guys, I would ask if you would, just mark that page right there, put your bulletin there. And we're not going to look at all these instances, but this one we will. I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 22. That's page 16 in your pew Bible. Genesis chapter 22. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to look at a few verses here. Genesis 22, and we'll begin our reading at verse 1 of chapter 22. If you're with me, please say amen. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. In other words, it's his time of testing. He calls on Abraham. Abraham answers. He says, and he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains. He says again, which I will tell thee. In other words, we're going somewhere, and I'm going to show you exactly where to go. And at this time, Abraham had matured in Christ, had matured in God, truly believed him. At this time, or at this point of their lives, not only have Abraham given burnt offerings with animals, his son knew what this was all about as well. And he wasn't a kid. He was of age to say no. He goes on, verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and said, rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took up two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clayed the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. And again, he's not a baby. He's a young man. He goes on. The son's going, knows that they're going to offer a sacrifice. At this point, he don't know he's going to be the sacrifice, but he is told. Look at verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, so they had traveled a pretty good ways. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad, look what he says, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now Abraham already knows what God told him to do. He's not sure how this thing is going to work out, but what he knows is that God made a promise that the world is going to be blessed because of his son. So somehow God's going to have to do something here because I can't. All I'm doing is being obedient. Verse 6 says, and Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac. Now Isaac carried it. He says, laid it upon Isaac his son. He says, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and then and they went both of them together. So they're going up to offer the sacrifice. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? So his son Isaac knew exactly what was going to be going on. He had done it before with his father. Verse 8 said, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And by the way, guys, this what Abraham is saying is prophetic because he said that God will provide himself a lamb. And indeed, he did. He did it here. And he ultimately did it with Christ when he provided him to be the lamb, the ultimate lamb that would be a blessing even in the new covenant. Amen. Verse 9 says, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. And guys, by the way, he would bound him just like he would bind the animal so the animal don't run away. So he bound his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And listen, his son again was old enough to know what was going on. His father's tying him up. He knows and realizes that he's going to be the sacrifice, but because of the faithfulness of his father toward God, his son Isaac was faithful to Abraham, believing that somehow this thing was going to work out. It says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And guys, that is being obedient, and that is putting faith in your belief in God. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham. And Abraham said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And listen, of course, God knows everything. He knew what Abraham would do. But I dare say, as a father, man, I'm not sure if I would know what to do, even full of faith. And he's proving, at least Abraham has proved, that whatever God asks, I don't care what it is, I'm going to do it, even sacrificing my son. And God says he's okay with Abraham and is pleased with Abraham. And guys, he will put faith tests in your proximity as well. You say you love me, you say you want to serve me, and he will put something in front of you where you're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to serve God in this, or am I going to serve myself and back away? Faith test. And we get little ones here and little ones there, and sometimes we get a big one, and God wants to know what you're going to do. And in fact, God already knows what you're going to do. But he wants you to know what you're going to do. And there are times that we pass, surely times when we don't pass. But God uses these faith tests to grow us and let us know that he knows us the best. He says in verse 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seest thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from him. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And again, Abraham didn't know how it was going to work out. He simply knew it was going to work out. And I dare say he probably, as a father, he probably took a great sigh of relief. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said today, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And listen, what we know is that Jehovah Jireh, simply put, means the Lord is my provider. And guys, by the way, he is your provider. I don't care what you need. I don't care what you stand in need of, that he is your provider. And many times he will let you get to the furthest place that you can get in regard to physicians, in regard to money, in regard to family. And he will let, and because they don't come and rescue you, he wants you to go to him. And when your back's against the wall and there's no other place to go, we ought to have gone there long before that, but he wants to be your provider. And sometimes he'll use people, sometimes he'll use things, but he ultimately is the one that provides. And if you need, hallelujah, call on him. Taste and see that the Lord, he is good. And the angel of the Lord called out unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand of the sea is upon the seashore. And the seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And we know ultimately his seed marched into Canaan, and God gave them that promised land. And by the way, it's still their land. Keeping on, verse 18. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And he obeyed his voice by faith. And guys, yes, through his spiritual line, we have been blessed. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together unto Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. There we see faith in action. That God made a request, Abraham answered that request, and he and his only begotten son are going back to their place of dwelling. Amen. Flip back to Abraham, to Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 7. I'm sorry, look at verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly country, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, but he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall all thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise up him, it says, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, look at verse 20, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. In other words, he gave them some prophetic info. In verse 21, it says, by faith, Jacob, and by the way, we remember that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. It says, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And what he did, he made Joseph promise that though we're here in Egypt, don't leave my bones here. I need them buried in the promised land in Canaan. Verse 22 says, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. In other words, he promised that he would do it. He had spent much of his adult life in Egypt. He did not want that to be his final resting place. By faith, look at verse 23. If you're with me, say amen. He says, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. And listen, we know that his mother and nobody but God could have given them this. They were killing all these children, all the male children, and they came up with a plan and they put Moses in a little dugout. Put him and let him float by where the king's daughters would bathe. He was a nice looking kid, a fair kid. As scripture says, he was a pleasant, proper child. And she took him to raise him on his own. And his sister went and got his mother and said, I know where his mother is and she can raise him and she can be your handmaiden. So his mother raised him, even though they were in the big house, she let Moses know that though we're here, this is not your home. You are an Israelite. And she gave him all the ins and outs of the Israel people. It says in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, his mother had taught him all these things, and he could have relaxed in the king's house and lived the lap of luxury forever. But the call on his life to lead God's children out of Egypt was on him. Of course, he tried to do it on his own. He slain the Egyptian. They fell out. He ran away. But ultimately, God used him to deliver his people. And by the way, guys, we don't know what God is going to call you to do. You might call you to be here. He might call you to go on the mission field. He might call you to do a numerous amount of things, but we have to stay in fellowship with the Lord so that we can hear his voice. He says that my sheep hear my voice and they will not listen to another. But if we are his sheep, we need to be connected to the vine in order to hear what our Lord, hallelujah, is saying. Amen. It says in verse 25, choosing in regard to Moses, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. And it says, for a season. And by the way, enjoying the pleasures of sin is only for a season. So he yielded to his higher calling, esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches. And King James says Christ, he's simply talking about God's eternal purposes that were on his heart. It says, then the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, he was preferring the eternal over the temporal. You know, that's something I look at. My wife likes to look at the movies on TCM, and I look at them as well. They're old movies, and they show the old movie stars and how they were young, and then sometimes they'll show them how they are now, and a lot of years have passed, and it seems like those years go by just like that, and where they were swashbuckling and glamour stars, and now many of them can barely walk, if that. Time is fleeting. Eternal is forever, and we need to choose the eternal over the things and the temporal pleasures of time. Amen? It says in verse 29, by faith, I'm sorry, look at verse 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover. And in fact, I'm going to read 26. I'm backing up again. Esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Again, the eternal over the temporal. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And he's talking about God, who is spirit, and though physically he's not here, spiritually he surely is in the hearts of the believer. Guys, I'm going to go ahead and stop there because we're going into another section, and I had a ton of other information I wanted to do once we move forward. But through this all, guys, we see that the Old Testament or the Old Covenant saints, that they lived their lives by faith. And if they lived their lives by faith, we can live our lives by faith as well. This book, this whole book, is showing us that Christ is better than everything that we have seen. And we need to grab a hold of that. We need to make that our own. And whatever the temporal fantasies or fancies that we have on this earth, if they're not sinful, it's okay. But guys, we need to be directed by God with everything we do. We're living in a time, and listen, we got a big election coming up, and I'm not going to get political, but what I will say is that what happens in this election is going to, I believe, speak volumes from the spiritual. And what I do know is that because of the times we're living in, we need to be close and get closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because we need him now. And as we go in more into the future, we're truly going to need him if we're going to survive in this world that we live. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this ministry moment, Father, for this time in which you allowed us to get into your book of truth. And Father God, to even see from the old that you've been watching over your people, and into the new, Father God, you're still watching over us. And Lord, still trying to direct us to be obedient in all things. Help us, Father God, with our lives and how we're living our lives. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's living a life that is not conducive to biblical teaching, Father God, have them cease and desist, whatever the sin might be. Shut it down. Give them the power so that they can turn to you. Father God, if there's anyone here that does not know, truly know you in the pardon of their sin, I pray, Father God, that you'll trouble them even in their sinfulness, and bless them to look up and see a Savior that's there to save. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We say yes to your will and to your way, Father. I know you will be, but I'll simply say it out loud. Be mindful of our prayer list. Father God, bless and be with our Deacon Frank in regard to what he's going through and all the rest. Father God, we're remembering David and Kathy Lee, Lord. Both of them are down. Both of them are going through, Father. Please minister to them and bless the Polizzi family. Touch and bless, Lord. You know what's needed, and we ask that you give them a double dose of that which is needed. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We say yes to your will and to your way, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. And let his church say, amen and amen. God bless you guys, and thank you.
You have been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at New Beginnings Lamp, LAMP, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. Thank you.